welcome to the Trucking with Jesus broadcast today. Today we're so glad to be with you. My name is Blonnie Gregory. I'm Chaplain Bunny's wife, and we have the Trucking with Jesus Mobile Chapel Ministry. Today I'd like to share from God's Word a portion of Scripture that absolutely blesses my heart every time I read it. We all love all of the Word of God, but there are certain portions, I think, that finds a place in our hearts that maybe ministers to one more than the other. And this portion, I really love it. And ever since a little girl, I have read about this Scripture and heard the story about the four leprous men. And today, from 2 Kings, I want to turn to the 7th chapter of 2 Kings, and I want to go to verse 3 of that 7th chapter. And the Bible says in 2 Kings chapter 7, verse 3, "And there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate, entering in of the gate, and they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die?'" Isn't that a marvelous question to ask? And let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that your anointing be upon us. I pray that you have your way in our hearts and lives, and speak to us through your precious word. Every man, woman, boy, and girl that's listening to this, I pray that you encourage their hearts through your word, and let them know, oh God, that you have everything under control. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Today I want to talk to you about why sit we here until we die. A lot of times we know that we have problems in our lives, but we're doing nothing to take care of those problems. There's an old Oklahoma saying that I love. It says, as long as the horse is on your foot's not going to get any better. In other words, somebody, someone, something has got to move. And in this portion of Scripture, it talks about four leprous men that were sitting on the outside of the gate. And I'd like to give you a little history about what was happening at this time. King Ben-Had, the king of Assyria, had, the Bible said, had gathered all of his host and besieged Samaria. He had got all of his army together, all of his mighty men, and he had surrounded Samaria and had cut them off, had cut off their water, had cut off their food. And the Bible says, and there was a great famine, and the people could not get out of the city, and they couldn't get any supplies in because the enemy had them encamped all about. But outside of the gate of this city were four men that were leprous. Now, if you had leprosy during that time or any time, you were considered to be dead while you yet still live, because you were actually considered to be the walking dead and you were unclean. You had to call yourself unclean. And they were outside the camp. Isn't it amazing that the people on the inside were starving to death and the enemy had surrounded them, but they wouldn't even let the leprous men in to get help, what little they did have. It's amazing how even in the time of crisis, people will still draw a line and say, "You're bad, I'm bad, but you're worse off than I am. I sin, but your sin is worse than mine." Listen, if you're in a bad fix, you're in a bad fix, and if I'm in a bad fix, if we can get together, maybe we can get some help. But these four leprous men, they were on the outside of the gate. They were what you would call in between a rock and a hard place. As they looked back over their shoulder, they saw the hunger and starvation in the city. And as they looked down the road, they could see the enemy. And as they looked around at one another, they could see death, because they were all in a bad shape. And the Bible says that the enemy had seized their camp. And that's one of the first things that the enemy will do. He will cut off your food and your water and bring famine into the camp. You can always tell when somebody has been suffering famine from the Word of God. They become bitter in heart. The Bible says even in their physical, when they were hungry, they were so bad in this city that they were boiling one another's children and eating their children. In other words, bitterness brings, famine brings a bitterness of heart. And when you hit a famine, you become faint and weary. And when you have a famine, you become powerless. And also, you can look at that on the spiritual sense. When a person has a lack of eating and feasting upon the Word of God and upon living waters, he and she too becomes bitterness. They become bitter in heart. Today, if you're suffering from bitterness and you have strife in your life, it's because of a famine of the Word of God, not just hearing but doing also. You also become faint and weary when you do not partake of the Word of God. You feel like you can't go on. And then if you go on, you feel like every step is so hard that you can hardly make it. And when you're suffering that there is a lack of the Word of God in your life. Because when you get in the Word of God and you feast upon the Word of God, you'll find out that the battle is not our battle, it's God's battle. And with God, nothing is impossible. I tell you, when you get in the Word, you're going to get some strength. You're going to get some joy in your life. And also, when you have a famine of the Word of God, you're powerless. How many times have you got around the preachers and God's people that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power? They have the rules and they have the regulations, but there is no power. There is no saving power preached. There is no power to deliver you from hell preached. There's no power to deliver you from sickness and disease. There is no power to deliver you from the wiles of the enemy. They just have a form, and they have a fashion, and they have a party, and they have a bingo game, and they have social events, but there is no power. I don't know about you, but you and I today, let me tell you, we need the power of God, for it's not by power or might in God's ways, but it's by His Spirit. It's not the power that a man should have. It's not the strength of a man, but it's by the Spirit of God. And God's Spirit will come into man and give us the strength to go on and face each day and each situation. Also, when famine comes, a fear of the enemy comes. You see a lot of people, they're afraid of everything. And if you notice, fear paralyzes a lot of people because they haven't been in the Word of God, and they're suffering from a famine of the Word of God. They have a fear. They fear they're going to lose their mind. They fear they're going to lose their finances. They fear they can't make it in life. They fear their health is not going to get any better. They're surrounded in fear. But the Bible tells me that God hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love, hallelujah, and of a sound mind. When we have the Word of God, the famine will not come in our life, and fear will not overtake us. And there's something else that comes with famine, and that's failure. Failure to overcome the enemy. Because God's people were surrounded in that city, and because their food supply was cut off, they had lost their strength and lost their hope, and they had a failure. They couldn't go against the enemy, and the enemy were defeating them. You see, inside the city, the king, he was still king. He had a crown on his head, but he didn't have any bread. He had jewels in his castle, but he didn't have any bread. He had a throne to sit upon, but he didn't have any bread. He had a title to his name, but he didn't have any bread. And that's the way our nation is. That's the way our people are today. They have the money. They have the crowns. They have the titles. They have the big cars. And that's all well in its place. But let me tell you, they're not giving us any bread. I don't know about you, but I want the manna that come down from above. I want to partake of the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ. And when you have him, you have everything. Bless the name of Jesus. But these four leprous men, they looked at one another and they said, listen, why are we sitting here until we die? In other words, let's get up, hallelujah, and let's do something. It's a saying, it said, if you ain't making dust, you're eating dust. Some of us have eaten a lot of dust. We're just sitting by the roadside. We have given up. We look at our past and what's behind us, and it's so bad. We lost hope, and we won't get up. We look at the people around us, and we see the bad shape they're in, and we see the shape that we're in, and then we don't want to get up. We just want to give in and quit because we're looking at the situation. And you look on up the road, and you see, well, it's not going to be any better up the road. The enemy's up the road, and all you're looking at is your situation, and all you're looking at is your circumstance. But let me tell you, when you take your eyes off of the flesh, and you take your eyes off of the situation, and you put your eyes on your God, you're going to be able to get up. When you put your eyes on God Almighty, when you trust in Jesus Christ, you're going to be able to get up. Things are going to look good because you say, why? Because God is the author, and he is the finisher of our faith, and whatever he starts, he's going to finish. He's not going to leave us and drop us and not provide. God takes care of his children. He said, why sit we here until we die? And I love what these four leprous men, the Bible says at twilight, just before nightfall, just before it would get really dark, just before darkness would surround, they made their mind up to get up and walk. The Bible says they begin to walk toward the enemy camp. That's what you and I need to do today. We need to walk toward the enemy camp. We don't need to be fighting against our brethren. We don't need to be fighting against the family. We don't need to be fighting with the boss man or the person at the truck stop. But we need to face the enemy, which is Satan himself. We need to know that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the powers of darkness. We need to know our enemy, and his name is Satan, and I want you to know he was defeated on Calvary, and you and I have a victory, and we need to know that we need not fear facing the enemy, because we never face him alone. Jesus has already defeated him, and we need to realize that. They walked toward the enemy camp, and I love what the Bible says happened as they walked toward the enemy camp. As they got up at twilight and began to walk toward the enemy camp, God allowed the 4 feet of the leprous men. He magnified their sound of their feet. And when the enemy heard them walking down the road, God allowed their walk to be magnified and the noise to be magnified. And the enemy thought, they said, listen, the king of Samaria, he has hired armies to come fight against us. And the Bible says that the enemy heard a noise of chariots, and they heard noise of horses, and a sound of a great host. Let me tell you, brother and sister, when you determine in your heart that you're not going to sit down and die, and you're not going to give up, and you're not going to quit, but you're going to get up, move out in the power of God, and trust God to give you the victory. When you head toward the enemy camp, I come by to tell you, the enemy will hear a great mighty host coming. Oh, and I'm talking about the army of God will be backing you, and will be all around you, and will be all in front of you. But God just wants somebody, somewhere to get up and say, hey, I'm not going to sit here anymore. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to move out in the power of God. I'm not turning back. I'm not turning to the left or right, but I'm going on in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says at that very same moment, they got up and began to move. That's when the enemy heard the sound. Let me tell you, God knows the timing, and He knows exactly when to bless, and He knows exactly what's getting ready to take place. And you and I today need to determine in our heart that we're not going to sit by the wayside. Why sit we here until we die? And when those four leprous men arrived into the enemy camp, they said to themselves, well, there's nothing to eat in the city, and the enemy, at least they have food. Maybe before they kill us, they might give us something to eat. But when they got to the camp, they didn't know that God had already prepared the way ahead of them. And when they got to the enemy's camp, the enemy was gone. But one thing happened. When they left in a hurry. They didn't have time to pack. They didn't have time to take their food. They didn't have time to take their wealth. They dropped it all and they ran. Let me tell you, when the power of God gets a hold of the enemy, he is not going to worry about packing and moving. All the Bible says that the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. If you and all trust God, God will cause us to come to a place where all we'll have to do is just pick up the blessings of God. Let me tell you, He did it for a little girl named Ruth. He did it for the four leprous men, and He'll do it again for you, and He'll do it again for me. Can you just imagine? Can you just imagine, and just imagine and walk in God's Word and see those men who hadn't eaten for days and days, see those men who were weak in their bodies, and see those men when they came up into the enemy camp, and when they got there, the enemy was gone, and all that food, and all that wealth, and all the goods were just left laying for them to pick up. The Bible says they began to pick up. They began to stuff things all in their pockets. I can see them now picking up baskets and filling it up, having them a good time, a good time. Oh, we having us a good time. And then they said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We can't do this. We got to go back up in the city. And we got to tell the people up there that's starving. We got to tell them what God has done. Let me tell you, that's the key to getting a real blessing. When God has blessed you, when God has brought you out, when God has provided for you, when God has made a way for you, when God has given you a miracle, you go back and you tell the ones that's left behind, get up and come on. If I did it, you can do it, because God is on our side and God made a way. And look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. That's what you and I need to be telling people. Look what the Lord has done. Look how He's blessed us. Look how He's prospered us. Look how He's healed us and delivered us. Look what the Lord has done. And the Bible says when they went back into the city and they told the people, they began to come out and partake of the blessings of God. Now you say, I would love to be able to get up and do that, but maybe these people, these four men had something I don't have. Maybe these four men knew something I don't know. Maybe these four men had something in their character that I don't have. Oh, listen, I want you to pay real close attention now to the key of the whole story here. Pay attention to the key of the whole matter here. You see, the day before this thing happened, Elisha stood up. And he told them, he said, hear ye the word of the Lord. In other words, you haven't kept the word of God. You have turned your back on God. But because of God in His mercy and His grace, He is going to give you a miracle tomorrow about this time. Before anything ever transpired, the word of God come forth through the prophet. And Elisha told them in that first verse, he said, listen, up in that sixth chapter, he told him, let me tell you, all through that chapter, he said, let me tell you, God is going to give you a miracle, and tomorrow about this time, you're going to have all the food you want. God is going to give you a miracle. And when Elisha gave forth the word, there was a Lord that the king leaned upon. He was a mighty man of valor, and he was what we would call a high up guy. And he looked at Elisha, and he said, let me tell you, this thing could never happen. He said, even if God opened up the windows of heaven, this thing you say that's going to happen could not take place. Elisha looked back at him and said, well, let me tell you something, mister. Maybe not in quite those words, but in our terminology for today, he said, let me tell you, you will see it, but you won't taste it. I see a lot of people that when they're giving the word of God and they're told what God can do, they say, oh, no, that could never happen. They see it, but they never taste the goodness of God. They see other people getting blessed, but they never get blessed. They see other people getting healed, but they don't believe it can happen to them. And guess what? It don't happen. He said, you will see it, but you will not eat of it. And let me tell you, that's the key to the whole thing right there. You see, before the miracle took place, the word of God had come forth over the people. I got good news for you. It makes no difference what situation you're in, what the problem is, what the trouble is, where it is, where it's located, who or what has surrounded you. The word of God has already been spoken over you. I'm talking about the infallible word of God. God has already spoken the word over us, but it's up to us to get up and move out. If you'll just move, God said, the footsteps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. God will tell you which way to go. He'll tell you when to go. He'll tell you how far to go. He'll tell you when to stop. I tell you, if you'll get up on the word of God, we can be blessed. The word has already been spoken over us. He said, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. In Mark 16:17-18, he said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, in the name of Jesus, they will cast out devils. Got any devils that need to be cast out? They will speak with new tongues. How many of you got a tongue that needs to be bridled and you need to be filled with the Spirit of God? They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. You don't have to worry about the plagues. You don't have to worry about the diseases if you believe on the name of Jesus. And then he said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. I'm talking about the word being spoken. He said, I am your shepherd and you shall not want. He said, you'd be like a tree planted down by the rivers of water. He said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He said, with God all things are possible. Oh, I'm talking about the word has already been spoken. You've let situations and you've let the enemy encamp you and to cut off the word of God. But I come to tell you to get up and go in the fire of the Spirit and let God bless you and let God give you the victory. I love what they said. Why sit we here till we die? Why are you sitting in the house with the shades pulled down, all depressed? Get up and feed yourself in the word. Why? Because the doctor said there is no hope. Have you given up? Give him the word of God and take it to Dr. Jesus. Why have you given up on your lost loved ones when he said it's not his will that any man should perish? Pray the convicting Holy Spirit of God on them and let God move. Don't sit down. Don't give up. Don't quit. Oh, I love what Samuel told Jesse, the father of David, when Samuel had sent to the sheep's pasture to get David out because they were going to anoint him for king. Samuel would not let Jesse and his son sit down until David got in the room. You say, why? Because you couldn't sit down in the presence of a king. Let me tell you, I'm waiting on the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. You're waiting on the King of Kings and the Lord of Glory. And I'm going to look up one day and I'm going to see him break those clouds of glory. And I don't want to be found sitting down. I'm saying, get up. Behold, the King is coming. Get up. He'll make a way. Get up. If you don't really have in your strength, physical strength to get up, tell your heart to get up. Tell your soul to get up. Tell your mind to get up. Tell your faith to get up. And I tell you what, it won't be long long till the old flesh and the old body has to get up, because let me tell you, the Word of God will overpower it. I love you today, and I thank God for His Word. And I pray today that you'll go back to 2 Kings and go back to that 7th chapter and on into the 6th chapter and just read it and reread it and read it and reread it and feast upon the Word of God. Please continue to pray for Trucking for Jesus and pray that God will bless us and pray that God will give us many souls for a hire. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.